Welcome to another deep dive with us.
Yeah.
We're going right to the heart of the Daniel Penny case.
It's a big one.
You've probably seen the headlines already, right?
Oh, yeah. Everywhere.
Former Marine.
Right.
Convicted of manslaughter in the death of Jordan Neely on a New York City subway.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story that has sparked a lot of debate, hasn't it?
Yeah, tons.
So we're focusing on just one perspective today.
Okay.
A conservative viewpoint from an opinion piece on American Thinker.
Interesting.
Now, this article, it doesn't just talk about the case, you know, it actually uses the case to tap into some wider anxieties in society.
It really does.
Like bigger issues.
Yeah, and right from the start, the author kind of tries to pull you in.
Oh, really?
With a story about feeling unsafe on the NYC subway.
Okay.
What's interesting here, I think, isn't just the anecdote itself, but like how it's used, you know?
Yeah.
The language is important.
Yeah.
Words like menacing and overrun.
Yeah.
It's like a deliberate attempt to trigger an emotional response in the reader.
Okay.
Making you feel that same fear and unease that they felt.
Interesting. So they're setting the stage with this feeling of fear.
Right.
But the anecdote, it isn't even directly about the Penny case. So why even go that route?
Well, I think it allows the author to subtly connect this personal fear to a bigger issue. Immigration.
Oh, I see.
They claim the city became more dangerous after an influx of illegal aliens.
Right.
Which taps into a common conservative concern about urban crime and immigration.
Yeah.
So it's like they're priming the reader to view the Penny case through a very specific lens.
Okay, so they're building this narrative of a city under siege.
Almost, yeah.
And then they shift focus to Daniel Penny himself and even bring up Daniel Perry, the man in Texas recently acquitted in that very high-profile self-defense case.
Right.
Why connect those two?
I think by putting those two cases side by side, you know, they're implying a pattern, a system that unfairly punishes people acting in self-defense.
Mm.
They even go on to claim that the judge in Penny's case had chances to dismiss the charges, but didn't.
Right.
And they accuse him of bias and cowardice.
Wow.
But isn't that a dangerous oversimplification?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
what evidence do they actually present?
Right, exactly.
That's where I start to get skeptical.
And to bolster that claim even further, they bring in Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Oh, wow.
A well-known conservative commentator and a former judge.
How
is that just name-dropping or is there something more to it?
It's definitely a strategic move.
Okay.
You know, by invoking someone like Judge Pirro, who has a huge following on the right, they're trying to add this layer of authority to their argument, hoping readers will think, well, if a judge agrees.
Right, exactly.
But it's important to remember that her opinions often reflect a particular political stance.
You know? Absolutely. So it's more about aligning with a certain ideology.
Yeah.
It's then about an objective legal analysis.
Exactly.
But here's where I think it takes a really interesting turn.
Okay.
They bring in the Soros criminal conspiracy of prosecutors.
Ah, yes.
Now, I've heard this whispered online, but to be honest, I'm a bit lost.
Okay.
Can you break this down for us a little bit?
Sure. So this conspiracy theory basically alleges that George Soros, this billionaire philanthropist, is funding district attorneys across the country to manipulate the justice system.
Wow.
Create chaos and advance a liberal agenda. It's a very powerful narrative.
Yeah.
It taps into these deep-seated anxieties about shadowy elites controlling things.
Hold on. Soros, though, isn't he known for his philanthropy?
Right.
So how does that fit into this conspiracy?
Yeah, that's where it gets tricky.
Okay.
They twist his support for criminal justice reform into something much more sinister.
Oh, I see.
They'll say that he's bankrolling soft-on-crime policies to intentionally destabilize the country.
Right.
But this theory, it relies heavily on misinformation.
Okay.
And often draws on these anti-Semitic tropes about Jewish people controlling the world.
Wow.
Fact-checking websites have repeatedly debunked claims of Soros directly influencing specific cases.
Like Penny's.
Like Penny's, yeah.
So it's less about evidence and more about playing on people's fears.
Absolutely.
And existing biases.
Exactly.
This distrust isn't limited to the legal system, though.
Yeah, right.
The article also goes after the media, claiming they deliberately left out key details that would help Penny's case. So why this focus on media bias?
This feeds into a broader distrust of mainstream sources, which is something we're seeing more and more in politically polarized communities.
Right.
By saying that the media is hiding the truth.
Yeah.
They're encouraging their readers to seek out information that confirms their existing beliefs.
Right.
Even if it comes from less credible sources.
Uh-huh.
It's about creating an us versus them mentality.
Yeah. So what they're essentially saying is, don't trust the courts.
Yeah.
Don't trust the media. Trust us.
Yeah.
The ones who are revealing the real story.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty powerful message.
It is.
And I can see how it would resonate with people
yeah.
already feeling anxious or distrustful.
Definitely.
But before we get too deep into the article's claims,
okay.
I think it's important to kind of step back
yeah.
and ask why this even matters to our listeners.
That's a great question.
Like, why should they care?
Well, this article isn't just some isolated opinion piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
It reflects a broader trend that we're seeing.
Okay.
The use of misinformation and emotionally charged language to shape public opinion on these really critical social issues.
So it's something that everyone needs to be aware of,
yeah.
no matter where you stand politically.
Exactly. You know, it's like they're constructing this
yeah.
alternate reality
okay.
where facts are like selectively mm-hmm. chosen to fit a narrative.
Right.
And they're very good at it.
Yeah.
Take the claim that, you know,
yeah.
illegal immigration is to blame for rising crime in New York.
Right, right.
They present it as this
yeah.
simple cause and effect relationship.
Like more immigrants equals more crime.
Exactly.
But isn't that a dangerous oversimplification?
It is, yeah.
What evidence do they actually present?
Very little.
Really?
Yeah. They rely on anecdotes
okay.
and broad generalizations.
Mm-hmm.
They don't mention any studies
mm-hmm.
or statistics.
Right.
The reality is
yeah.
much more complex.
Okay.
Crime rates fluctuate for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah.
Socioeconomic conditions.
Right.
Policing strategies.
Mm-hmm.
Even things like weather patterns
mm.
can play a role.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. To just point at immigration is
yeah.
intellectually lazy.
Right.
And ignores the real complexities of the issue.
So they're cherry picking information.
Basically.
To fit their narrative.
Yeah.
And they do something similar when they talk about the judge in the Penny case, claiming he had multiple opportunities to dismiss the charges.
Exactly.
So what's the truth there?
Well, it's a very misleading portrayal of how the legal system works.
Okay.
They make it sound like the judge had some
yeah.
personal vendetta against Penny.
Right.
Like he was intentionally railroading him.
Mm.
But in reality,
yeah.
judges have to follow specific legal procedures.
Right.
There are strict standards for dismissing a case.
Okay.
It's not just a matter of personal opinion.
But they present it as if the judge was somehow in cahoots
yeah.
with this grand conspiracy, right?
Exactly. They even throw in
yeah.
Judge Jeanine Pirro's opinion for good measure.
But we already talked about how her yeah. commentary is often politically motivated.
Exactly. They're trying to create this
yeah.
echo chamber of agreement.
Okay.
Hoping that by repeating the same claims from different sources,
right.
it'll somehow make them more believable.
Right, just because multiple people say it
yeah.
doesn't make it true. Always look for the evidence.
Yes.
The facts that back up these claims.
Absolutely.
Okay, so they've built this narrative of a rigged system,
hmm?
Powerful forces working against ordinary people.
Yeah.
And then they bring in the big guns.
Right.
The Soros criminal conspiracy of prosecutors.
Oh, yeah.
This seems to be the glue that holds their whole argument together.
It's the ultimate bogeyman.
Okay.
This shadowy figure.
Right.
They can blame for everything they see is wrong with society.
Wow.
And it's a tactic that's unfortunately very effective.
Yeah.
It simplifies a complex issue.
Okay.
Creates a clear enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And feeds into existing fears and prejudices.
So how do we even begin to unpack this?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right.
I think it starts with empathy.
Okay.
Trying to understand where their fear and distrust is coming from.
Right.
And then gently challenge their assumptions.
Okay.
By asking questions like, what evidence supports this claim? Is there another way to interpret these events?
So it's about engaging in respectful dialogue.
Right.
Not trying to win an argument.
Exactly.
But it can be so frustrating, can it?
It can be, yeah.
Especially when you feel like you're talking past each other.
Absolutely. It's tough.
Yeah.
And there's no magic formula.
Right.
But I think it's important to remember that
yeah.
people aren't always persuaded by facts alone.
Hmm.
Often it's about connecting on a human level.
Okay.
Building trust.
Right.
Showing you genuinely care about understanding their perspective.
And maybe, just maybe, by yeah. having those open and honest conversations,
yeah.
we can start to chip away at the misinformation
mm.
and the distrust that's
yeah.
fueling these harmful narratives.
Absolutely.
Speaking of misinformation, the article also goes after the media,
right.
claiming they deliberately omitted key details about the Penny case.
Mm-hmm.
So what's their end game there?
They're playing a dangerous game.
Okay.
by sowing distrust in reliable news sources.
Right. You're
essentially saying, don't believe anything you hear from the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
Only we have the real story.
Right.
It's a classic propaganda technique.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it can be quite effective.
So they're creating this information bubble.
Right.
Where people only consume content.
Right.
That reinforces their existing beliefs.
Yeah.
That's a recipe for division and polarization.
Absolutely. It becomes this self-perpetuating cycle.
Okay.
Of distrust and confirmation bias.
Right.
People start to view anyone who disagrees with them as part of the enemy.
Right.
And it becomes almost impossible to have a productive conversation.
So what can we do about this?
That's a great question.
How do we break out of these information silos?
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
But I think it starts with education.
Okay.
We need to teach people how to evaluate information.
Right.
How to spot misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
And how to recognize the techniques that are used to manipulate our emotions and beliefs.
So media literacy is key.
It is, yeah.
We need to be savvy consumers of information.
Yes.
Not passive recipients.
Exactly.
We need to ask questions.
Yes.
Challenge assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
Be willing to engage with diverse perspectives.
Absolutely.
And we need to be patient.
Yes.
Changing minds takes time and effort.
It does.
But I believe it's worth it.
It is.
We have a responsibility to protect our democracy.
Yeah.
And that starts with protecting the truth.
Absolutely. Well said.
This deep dive has been a fascinating exploration
of
how a single event,
the
Daniel Penny case, can become this prism through which we see a whole host of societal anxieties and political narratives.
Exactly.
And it's a reminder that we can't just passively consume information.
Right.
We have to be active participants in shaping the narrative, in seeking out the truth.
Absolutely.
And engaging in respectful dialogue
with
those who hold different views.
I agree. Yeah, it's easy to get caught up in the rhetoric, I think, and kind of miss the human element at the heart of this story.
Absolutely. We can't forget that there are real people whose lives have been deeply affected by this tragedy.
It's so crucial to approach this conversation with empathy and understanding.
Right.
Recognizing
the
complexities of this situation.
Absolutely.
You have to consider the struggles faced by individuals experiencing homelessness and mental health challenges.
Right.
But at the same time, you have to grapple with the anxieties and concerns of those who feel unsafe in public spaces.
And this American Thinker article we've been unpacking.
Right.
It represents just one slice of that complex reality.
It does.
One perspective within a much larger and multifaceted conversation.
It's a perspective shaped by particular anxieties and ideologies, often amplified by certain media outlets.
Right, exactly.
But it's not the only one.
Of course. Of
course. Know, think about the voices we haven't heard from yet.
Exactly.
What about the experiences
of
those who knew Jordan Neely?
Mm-hmm.
What about the perspective of mental health professionals?
Right.
Or those working on the front lines
of
the homelessness crisis?
That's a great point. We can't let any single narrative dominate the conversation.
Exactly.
So if this deep dive
has
sparked your interest in the Daniel Penny case, I really encourage you to keep digging.
Absolutely.
Don't just accept the information you're given at face value.
Mm-hmm.
Seek out diverse perspectives.
Absolutely.
Explore different angles.
Mm.
And most importantly, question everything.
That's the beauty of a deep dive like this.
What is?
It's not about giving you all the answers.
Yeah.
It's about equipping you with the tools and the curiosity to find them yourself.
Exactly. This isn't a passive exercise.
Right.
It's about empowering you, the listener, to become a more informed and engaged citizen.
Yeah.
So as you continue to follow this case and others like it, remember to ask those tough questions.
Absolutely.
Challenge the narratives you encounter.
Mm.
Explore alternative viewpoints.
Yeah.
And always be willing
to
learn and grow.
Don't let yourself get trapped in information silos or echo chambers.
Right.
Seek out diverse sources.
Mm-hmm.
Engage in respectful dialogue.
Yeah.
And form your own conclusions based on evidence and critical thinking.
This deep dive has been a journey, hasn't it?
It really has.
We've explored the depths of one particular perspective
on
the Daniel Penny case, dissected its techniques, uncovered the anxieties and ideologies that fuel it,
And hopefully we've inspired you to continue this exploration on your own.
To seek out
those
missing pieces of the puzzle.
Exactly.
And to form your own informed opinions.
That's what we're all about here.
That's right.
On The Deep Dive.
Thank you for joining us.